Our nation honors the courage, sacrifice, and devotion to duty and country of its Vietnam veterans. This memorial was built with private contributions from the American people, November 11, 1982. In honor of the men and women of the armed forces of the United States who served in the Vietnam War, in names of those who gave their lives and of those who remain missing, are inscribed in order they were taken from us. That's a Vietnam memorial in Washington, D.C. I have two acquaintances on that wall. One guy was one of the toughest guys I ever met, ever heard about. Toughest guy in the county, in Lake County, Ohio. Nobody ever wanted to fight that kid. Stepped on the Claymore in Vietnam. David Bell. I inscribed it on the wall. The other guy was a guy that defended me. We were playing a pickup basketball game, and some guys were mocking me out, which was easy to do. And he stood them off. He stood right up to them. And that guy stood up in Vietnam, took a sniper's bullet. And his name was Rusty Forrestal. And I knew him well. Great guy. I think of Dante Acosta, who is an assemblyman in the state of California. And I had the privilege of meeting him last week at a memorial service for a woman that was like a mother to him. And so as we were talking, he's a state assemblyman. That is to say, I don't know, California, they have assemblymen. In New Jersey, it would be a state senator or a state representative. And he goes to Sacramento, and he's an elected official. And his son, Ryan, paid the last full measure. A believer, a Christian, who paid the last full measure in Afghanistan about three years ago. Ryan Acosta. I think of these guys. I think of my father. Was it last year, Barb? I think it was last year that we were at the National Cemetery in Leavenworth and watched them Memorial Day service. It was very moving, incredible. They had a U.S. representative there. They had, a three-star general there. These guys spoke and all this kind of stuff. My father's buried there. He didn't die in World War II. I wouldn't be standing here if had he. But he was willing, like those men, like you men, were willing. And that's how I treat Memorial Day. I know that the official act is for those who gave the last full measure. But I look at it this way. I look at if they were willing to do that. And every time they don that uniform, they're willing to do that. And I think to myself, that is an absolutely an incredible thing. So I want to honor them. And I try to honor them all the time. I see somebody in uniform in an airport or wherever I see them, I go up and thank them. I don't care if it's Veterans Day or Memorial Day. It's every day. For me, it is. I really appreciate the sacrifice that they are willing to make, and I appreciate those who have. It's a thankless job. It really is, and I appreciate our government and making it a federal holiday, both Veterans Day and Memorial Day. I really appreciate the United States government making that a full federal holiday type of thing. I really do. I think it's fantastic. We honor those. I don't know. I know a lot of you, and I don't know some of you. But one of the things about me is I like to go through cemeteries. Weird, huh? Yeah. Knowing, you're probably saying, I know him. That is weird. Chris is weird. Yeah, just plain weird, you know? But I look at that, and I do that because it's very sobering. It is sobering indeed to go through a cemetery and to see. And my favorite cemeteries are national cemeteries. I had my any serviceman who is outed with an honorable discharge gets to be planted in the national cemetery if they so desire, including their spouses. That's a tremendous thing. My father is in like I said before, in the Leavenworth National Cemetery. They have two of them there in Leavenworth. We always think of the prison, but they have a VA hospital there. They have two national cemeteries there, and they were incredibly, a lot of press, bad press on the VA. They treated my father before he passed away with incredible grace, and I mean, they treated him like he was a four-star general. They did. It was an incredible thing to watch. I mean, even when he was, because he was on these particular drugs, he was out of his mind and he was abusive. And to those guys who were taking care of, they didn't give it another thought. Isn't it amazing? And when he passed away, when my father passed away, the National Cemetery, I talked to the director of it because I had no idea what to do, how to do it. He says, "Well, we need your DD-214." And when they saw his DD-214, they could not believe it. They just could not believe it. Four major engagements during World War II, including the Battle of the Bulge, hand-to-hand combat. Forward observer, they looked at his duty sheet and they just could not believe it. And the combat that he saw. I didn't know that until my mid-30s or late-30s, and I didn't know that he did hand-to-hand combat in World War II with the Germans, against the Germans, until after he passed away. Somebody else extracted that information from him. It is amazing. So I think to myself, a lot of people give the military a bad rap. Some people do. I don't. I praise God for it. I praise God for a strong military. Really do. And I think to myself of the willingness of those men and women who are willing to don the uniform and give service. I've got lots of friends of mine in the military that when the military said to them, their commanding officer said, I have a friend of mine, he was in the Air Force, he said, "You're going to Korea for a year without your family. Start packing." He said, "Yes, sir," and was gone a year. I have a friend right now in Afghanistan, and he's with the department. He was 23 years CWO4, and then he retired. And now works Department of Defense. And when they told him he's going to Afghanistan for a year, he said, "See ya." Isn't that amazing? Just the unquestionable. I'm going to do this. No, I don't think it. This doesn't fit my schedule. It doesn't work that way. You do what they tell you to do, and you go where they tell you to go. Unquestionable. It reminds me a great deal of like every Sunday when we come and we break bread. I think of that. I don't know what you think about the breaking of bread. You know what the Word of God says about the breaking of bread. And if you got a Bible in front of you, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, one of the things about the venue here, this is nice. I'm not fighting any bugs when I open my mouth. And I'm not fighting any the page flipping like crazy. And is anybody actually hearing me? You know, type of thing. And that's always. But I know we don't have enough people, and maybe we need to have. You know, we want to be evangelistic and that kind of thing. I really appreciate that. I really do. And I love open air evangelism. I really do. I'll do it. You know, but this is nice. The temperature is nice. The seats are nice, and the food was good. The watermelon was, and I look at this and I say, what a great opportunity. But I think to myself, when I think of Memorial Day, I think of this passage. I really do. One of the great meetings of the church in the New Testament is the breaking of bread. One of the great, I'm going to make a statement, this is going to be kind of weird, maybe. One of the greatest evangelistic meetings of the church is the breaking of bread. So, because you look at the sacrifice, you look at the situation, that, you know, we want to honor God, but when I sit there, I think of myself and how sinful I am, and I think of Jesus and what a Savior He is. And I think of the situation in which He gave of Himself in total, you know, we say the last full measure. Yeah, absolutely. Somehow, sometimes we think of what Jesus Christ did on the cross wasn't really that great of a sacrifice. Sometimes, oh, He's God. I mean, He's going to do that. He knew He was going to do that. I mean, He knew that He was going to die on the cross and rise again from the dead. I mean, you know, if you knew that you were going to go and you were going to die, would you still do it, type of thing? Well, He's just God. I mean, this is the way it is, right? Well, wrong. Absolutely wrong. He knew before the foundation of the world that He was going to die. So says 1 Peter chapter 1. He knew before the foundation of the world, before they spoke the world into existence, before the Lord spoke the world into existence, He knew He was going to die. Isn't that a kicker? And yet He still came. And I look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, right, took bread, and when He had given thanks, broke it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Theologically speaking, I was raised Irish Roman Catholic. When we went to communion, that's what we called it. When we went to communion, we'd line up and the priest would say, body of Christ. We would say, amen. That is to say, we would say that this is the very body of Jesus Christ. That's called transubstantiation. And it's heretical. Because the Bible doesn't know anything of that. In fact, when you look at the Roman Catholic doctrine of transubstantiation, when you look at that doctrine, they say that the sacrifice of the Mass, we used to say that, the sacrifice of the Mass, that means that Jesus Christ at that particular moment was sacrificing Himself and, you know, for us at that moment. This is why Roman Catholics have a really difficult time with the idea of being saved once. They don't have any assurance. In fact, if you hold as a Roman Catholic that you have assurance of your salvation, you're committing sin. Were you aware of that? It's called the sin of presumption. You cannot presume on the grace of God. It's a sin. And it's because I think it's based off of the Mass, they call it the Mass, where it's the sacrifice at that moment, transubstantiation. Well, the Bible knows nothing of that. When you talk to, I remember as a young believer, looking at the book of Hebrews, keep your finger here, would you? And look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And when you look at this passage, I mean, this is a great chapter. The whole Bible is great, but this is fantastic. And when you look at this, for it is not possible, verse 4, that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure in them which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, the law, that he may establish the second, grace, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ. How many times? Once for all. Hey, I like that. I really like that. Once for all. I remember reading that for one of the first times in my life, and I'm going, there you are. What Jesus Christ did on that cross was once for all. And he tells us to never forget that. He tells us never to forget that. Oftentimes people today, especially when they're coming and they're young and they're growing up, and especially in the assembly, it's just really weird. Our young people don't understand that. A lot of them plain don't understand that. They just don't understand how Jesus Christ's sacrifice is to be, and his complete sacrifice is to be remembered. This do in remembrance of me. It's not a Peeb thing. It's not a Plymouth Brethren thing. It is a biblical thing. And this is the beauty of it. I was raised Irish Roman Catholic. I got saved at 18. I didn't even know who Coates was. I had no idea who Kelly was, except the guy that, you know, we played basketball against. You know, I had no idea who John Nelson Darby was. I wasn't raised with that. And I remember when I first trusted Christ as my personal Savior, a guy telling me, you know, the Bible is the Supreme Court from which there is no appeal. You hold to the Bible. If it doesn't say it in the Bible, that's it. You don't believe it. I said, okay, that's exactly what I want to do. I don't want to believe anything else except the Bible. So when we see this in the Bible, this do in remembrance of me, and it's a this do, the word do is interesting in the Greek. It means a continuous. As often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. That is the greatest memorial. We have the incredible privilege, most of us in our assemblies, you know, like in San Leandro, they break bread in the evening. And it's an interesting thing to watch that and to go to that. It's out of sync for a lot of us because 9:30, breaking of bread. When's the breaking of bread? 9:30. 9:30, breaking of bread. You go to San Leandro, Fairhaven Bible Chapel, and you ask them, when is it? 6 or 1800 hours. And you know, you ask, it's different times, you know that. But as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. I look at and revere those who have paid with their lives, and revere those who are willing to pay with their lives. And I think also, too, of firefighters, and I think of police officers, and I think of these individuals that are willing to put their lives on the line all the time. All the time. Nobody ever called Tiger Woods when their house was getting broken into. They call a cop. When their house is on fire, they call a, you know, 9/11. When those guys were coming down, those guys were carrying 100-pound packs, 70-pound packs plus hoses, going up. And the people coming down from the towers couldn't believe it. Get out of here. Get out of here. What are you doing? And they paid with their lives. It's a touching thing. It's a touching thing. But more touching is what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Because, like, I never met him, but Ryan Acosta, a solid believer, paid with his whole life in Afghanistan. Had the redemption that the Lord Jesus provides, has that redemption, will see him again. And that's the beautiful thing of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And so every Sunday, and this is how we, at least the least times they did the breaking of bread in the New Testament was once a week. We could do it twice. Last week, Barb and I did it twice. We went to the Western Assembly's home and broke bread with some of the senior saints, and then went to Claremont Bible Chapel and less than an hour later and broke bread again. Can you believe that? Twice in one day, what? You know? But you never want to stop. You never want to stop thinking about this incredible sacrifice. And not only memorialize it internally, but also show it. I'm thankful to God for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We say one last full measure, yes, but he also rose again. Rose again from the dead. This is so cool. Isn't it cool? I said this yesterday. I had the privilege of speaking at Terrell Road, and it was a real privilege. I appreciated it. One of the great, great books, opening lines. I love opening lines of great books. Great works. I asked this question, so if you're from Terrell Road, you're not allowed to answer this. Okay? But I asked this question. What, I'm going to give a quote, and you tell me what work it was from. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Tale of Two Cities. All right. Okay, see if you can get this one. This is a little harder. In the beginning, God... you guys are thinking about this? 1-1. Opening lines. How about this opening line? This is the best opening line aside from what David just told us. Genesis 1-1. Christianity is the only religion that has as its central event the humiliation of its God. Christianity, that's an opening line of a book on church history by Bruce Shelley. Church history in plain language. Christianity is the only religion that has as its central event the humiliation of its God. That's one of the most powerful opening statements that I have ever read. And I think to myself, it is absolutely true. Islam cannot match that. Buddhism cannot. I know we're in tolerance. We are in a tolerance mode. We have to be, we should, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I want you to know something. I know what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Buddhism can't even come close. In fact, it wouldn't even want to. No ism can come close. The humiliation of its God. And that's exactly what he did. And we are to memorialize that as often as we can. And what a tremendous opportunity when we look at this. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You cannot find a greater memorial service. You cannot find a greater memorial object of worship than Jesus Christ. As much as I love our military, and I do, and as much as I am honored to be in the presence of you men and women who have served, and as much as I am in the presence of the remains of those who have served and given their lives in national cemeteries specifically, I'm in the presence of him. And what an honor it is. And what an honor it is to talk to other people about him, about this one who paid the ultimate price to wash away my sins. There is no other greater honor for me as a human being and as a Christian to tell another human being without hope, without forgiveness, without meaning and purpose in life, and without heaven, how they can get heaven, meaning and purpose in life, sins forgiven. What an incredible thing it is for me. That puts personal evangelism on another level. It's no longer afraid of doing it. It is the object of my worship. It's the object of my life. There is nothing else but him. That's why Paul writes, Christ is in all and is all. He's everything. Without him, it's over, isn't it? So when I come to the breaking of bread, it's a sad thing and it's a joyous thing. Just like what you said. Just like what you said, bro. And I'm going there, don't let him go where I'm going in terms of speaking. Don't let him do it, Lord. You know, I'm going, he's going right there. It's a sad thing. It really is. It's a sad thing because I look at what it cost my Savior. But it's a joyous thing. What, you know, his physical resurrection. And then I am the direct beneficiary of that incredible sacrifice. When I was a brand new believer, I was 18 years of age when I trusted Christ. And then I was March 22nd, 1971. I'm getting geezerly. Not as bad as Don. He still got that flying wedge shot. I mean, I saw a lot of knees with Don playing against him and Henry Sanchez in the bush. You know, and that guy could shoot, and I was fearful. I mean, he came down the middle of that key. I'm like clearing the aisle. It's not worth getting injured here. This guy is like coming right through, you know, really is. But when I was a young whippersnapper, I was 18 when I trusted Christ. And I remember the first year of my being saved. I was in a quandary. I didn't have a good church home. I didn't know what an assembly was. I just was just a saved believer, reading the word, talking to people, getting influenced by the charismatic and Pentecostal groups. And I remember being in a quandary one day, and I went to this Christian bookstore in the side of a house. It was a store in the side of a house. Her name was Hildred Hartman, and Hildred would, you know, she was an elderly lady. She had all this junk, you know, gospel, little gospel in a walnut, you know, and they had a little crank called Gospel in a Nutshell, And it was a verse from 2 Corinthians 15:3-4, you know, and you go, and you crank it. I remember sitting there going, oh, that's cool. 19 years of age, going, I guess I had ADOS, attention deficit, oh, shiny, you know. But I mean, I'm cranking, and then you had the Frisbee and the pencils and all this kind of stuff, right? And then they had some serious, you know, Bibles and books and all that kind of thing. And I remember going to Mrs. Hartman. And I asked her, she was a frail, her skin was like translucent. You could see her veins. I mean, you know. And I look at my skin, I'm going, hey, you're getting there, Schrodes. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, wow. And I would say, Mrs. Hartman, I just... You know, and I would pour out my problems to her. And I don't know. And she would take her cold, and they were very cold, hands. And she said, let's pray. And we would pray together. She prayed for me. I never forgot that. She gave me a poem she wrote. Here it is. For me, He left heaven's bright glory, incarnate deity. Dark cattle shed, bleak manger bed, He humbled Himself for me. For me He prayed in the garden, submissive authority. The answer came, oh praise His name, He anguished in love for me. For me, He suffered the scorn, the cross, and blood and agony. Sin blackened the sun. God's Holy One was crucified there for me. For me, He left the cavern tomb, and death lost the victory. Christ is the King. Let angels sing. He opened heaven for me. Dear friend, I would not dare to be selfish. The Savior's gift is free. New life He'll give. Look up and live and whisper, it was for me. If you've not trusted Christ, the Lord Jesus, as your personal Savior, you must. You would be denigrating that incredible sacrifice that He made on that cross for you. And then the empty tomb, if you walk away from it, walk away from Him. What a crazy thing not to do. Right? You'd be crazy. You'd be crazy. I like that. Dear friend, I would not dare to be selfish. The Savior's gift is free. New life He'll give. Look up and live. And whisper, it was for me. I would venture to say most of us have done that. But if you've never done that, you can do that. Trust Him. Trust Him as your Savior. If you're not sure, you can be sure. Trust Him as your Savior. It was once for all. When you receive Him as your personal Savior, it's once for all. You don't ever have to do it again if it was sincere. Isn't that fantastic? Because when you pass from death unto life, it's permanent. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes in Him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Trust Him. Would you do that? If you don't know about that, talk to myself if you would, or talk to Don if you would, my brother here, Doug and Jack. Just talk to us about how to do that. We'd be happy. Steve, tell you about it, all about it. Okie doke, would you do that? All right. thanks for letting me come. And I'm thankful to God for his son who paid the penalty, the last full measure, that we would live. What a memorial day that is. Father, thank you so much. And we ask you, Lord, that you, as we look into your word and we see the sacrifice, we are humbled by it. We're humbled by the sacrifice of men and women who have given their lives in defense of this country and for our freedom. But we thank you more, even more, for the liberty we have in Christ and that he affords to anyone who comes to him. And we ask you, Lord, help us never forget this. Never, ever forget this. And to honor him, not only with our hearts and with our lips, but honor him every moment with our actions. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.